It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Listen, you get older and I'm wise.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is gonna be huge.
I believe this is gonna be our finest hour.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Y'all ready for this?
Thank God it's...
Put the work away. The work week is done. It is 5 o'clock on a Friday and time for the sports weekend with the Sports Rush. Your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy, and we've got you connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 468-62. Of course, the NFL draft will continue. Rounds 2 and 3 tonight, and then 4 through 7 will finish it off tomorrow. Coming up, we're going to be talking a little bit about the Pacers Milwaukee because they're tipping it off early. A lot of energy at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, and it's going to get very crazy when they rev up the engine and get the crowd fired up because none other than Caitlin Clark is going to be there to get the crowd going down in downtown Indianapolis. Pacers, Milwaukee, game 3. I think the Pacers got a great opportunity here. Giannis Antetokounmpo is out. We still are waiting to get word on whether Chris Middleton is going to play. Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
On the podcast, it'll be Middleton. But
he's good to go.
He's good to go. So they will have Middleton is yes, and Giannis is no for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Shout out to Scott Agnes, just reported that 10 seconds ago.
And speaking of reporting, we have got official word. It is breaking news out of Bloomington. Luke Goody has committed to the Indiana Hoosiers. Shocker.
Everyone's taken aback.
This is Michael Penix to the Falcons. We are shocked at this development. No, actually, it was like 95% done deal. And like we said the other day, all Indiana has to do is not screw it up. That Luke Goody was going to become an Indiana Hoosier. And so they add Luke Goody to the list of portal transfers that they have picked up. 468-62, your thoughts, 468-62. Hey, by the way, we had some tickets to the Tin Caps, and we were supposed to give them away, and unfortunately, we couldn't forget and have somebody else give them away, so we've got them still, and then yesterday, we were on the road, so we didn't have the tickets, but here's the deal. I'm going to drop these off at Parkview Field at will call to whoever wins these tickets because I don't want them to go unused. So we've got, what do we have, 4 tickets for Sunday's game?
We have 4 tickets to Sunday's game at 105. They are Diamond View seats. It's a 4-pack, and we also have a Silver Lot parking permit.
So I can tell you where these are. These are behind home, a little toward the first base dugout side.
Yeah.
And just a handful of rows from the concourse. So you don't have to walk down a bunch of steps. They're great seats. You got a perfect view kind of behind home plate. You get the parking pass. The whole thing is included. Now, the only problem is you might not have the parking pass when you go to park because I'm going to drop them off at will call.
You're right.
Unless they go like tomorrow or something and pick them up. I don't know. But I want to make sure somebody wins these tickets. So I've got them in an envelope here. And I'm going to drop them off at the box office. And all you've got to do, the Tin Caps are taking on the Great Lakes Loons this weekend. So you just have to text Loons, L-O-O-N-S, to 46862. And we'll randomly find somebody.
Yep.
Get them the information. Got to do it in the next 20 minutes. You got 20 minutes to text Loons to 46862 for the 4-pack of tickets to go see the Tin Caps Sunday at Parkview Field. And it is also an autograph day, so you'll be able to get autographs after the game on the concourse, courtesy of Midwest Box Breaks. Speaking of Midwest Box Breaks, also our sponsor for Tin Caps Night as we have our summer kickoff party at Parkview Field. We want you to be a part of the party. You've got to go online, get tickets. You can find them on the link at social media, whether you go to X, whether you go to Facebook, 1380 The Fan, find us, find the graphic, click through to the link, and you'll be able to buy your tickets. You can get individual tickets for the summit out in the 400 Club, above the 400 Club, out in center field. What a unique viewpoint to be able to enjoy the game. You're overlooking the crowd. You feel, you know, it's one of those kind of a Tim Taylor type of moments where you feel like you're a little more powerful, like you're a little better than the average fan because you're up there in those special seats.
In the summit.
Well, it's a group seating area where normally you could not get tickets.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to.
I mean, we had to create a special link and a special access just so that our listeners could find a way to join our party in this particular section of the ballpark. And so you don't want to miss out. This could be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And here's what's included. You get the ticket to the game to join us in the reserved area up top of the 400 Club in the summit. You get a food buffet. You get drinks. Beer and wine will be available. You get, what else? Oh, the commemorative cup.
Yep. First 100 people that grab a ticket get a commemorative 13E The Fan Tin Caps aluminum cup.
And I don't know if it's aluminum.
It is. I've seen it in the listing, in our advertisement.
Wow.
It does say aluminum
cup.
Well,
they upgraded the cup.
I hope they didn't lie to me.
They
because if the cup isn't aluminum, I'm going home.
It's like pleather. No, it's a leather couch. But it's a cup that's going to be commemorative because it's a special night, too, for the Tin Caps. It's their throwback night to the Wizards days. Of course, the Tin Caps celebrating 15 years at Parkview Field. But the Wizards got started back in 1993, and they're going to have a throwback night. I think, what is Wayne the Wizard or Dinger? One of them's going to be there.
Yeah.
You'll have special merchandise that'll be available that night. And it is the Thursday leading into Memorial Day weekend. So it's perfect timing to kind of kick off summer with us.
What a better way to spend and kick off your Memorial Day weekend.
And it will be one of the rare chances that you'll have to see Adam Lundy at a Tin Caps game.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because you're always in here pushing buttons for the radio broadcast. So you're not at as many Tin Caps games as you probably would be.
This season, I do have a couple more weekends off, so I'll try to make it out to the ballpark.
That doesn't help the promo at all. See, the promo was the rare opportunity. Yeah, the rare opportunity.
I won't be able to
make it. Yeah, I might not be there the rest of the summer, so come join me.
You know what? That's actually my last time. I just checked the schedule.
Check the schedule. Yeah. You're pretty well booked. I know your social calendar is just packed.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I did confirm it is an aluminum cup.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Fancy.
So don't miss out. It's just $40 for a ticket. When you look at the food, the beverages, the seat, the commemorative cup, it's a great deal.
I can eat $40 worth in a couple innings.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. I what am I supposed to say?
You know I can.
Yeah, you absolutely can. And so you can come out and watch Adam eat for two innings.
We can do like that Miami Marlins challenge or whatever.
What was the show where the guy, Man versus Food? Is that it? We're going to have Adam versus Food.
You know what's funny is that guy's name is Adam from Man versus
Food. It is Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would like tour the country and take on food challenges. Yeah, we should do that as part of the night, Adam. Then it would be the last Tin Caps game you'd be to.
We'll see what we can play.
But no, we're going to have a good time, and we hope you come out and join us as well. That is May 23rd, a Thursday at Parkview Field with 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Once again, 1380 The Fan, online, Facebook, or on X, formerly known as Twitter. I tell you, it's been, you know, that the portal news just keeps coming in. We talked briefly about this yesterday, didn't have a chance to dive into it. But how great is it to see yet another former Fort Wayne area basketball star come back home to play college basketball?
Oh, it's great. It means a lot.
We've seen it with Sidney Graber, who's currently on the Mastodons. We've seen it with Jalen Jackson coming back and playing for Purdue Fort Wayne men's program. Now it is Sidney Freeman who is coming back to town, the Central Noble product. is coming back to finish up her college career. She's got 1 year of eligibility remaining, but yesterday she announced that she is officially committed to Purdue Fort Wayne for that final year. And then you add that to Lauren Ross, who's kind of a 3-4 type of player. She was someone that scored over 20 points per game at Western Michigan, went on to Michigan State for a year, and now is finishing up her college career with her final year of eligibility at Purdue Fort Wayne. Maria Marcassano is just knocking it out of the park right now.
Oh, she's been fantastic in the transfer portal. I think she's made some great additions to the roster that she's already kind of began to construct, and looking forward to the upcoming season.
Last night, the Colts select Le'Atu Latu.
Yeah.
Latu.
Latu.
Le'Atu Latu.
Here we go.
You know, now you know why I was hoping they would take Xavier Worthy or Brian Thomas.
Or Brock Bowers.
Give me a name I can say. yeah, Brock Bowers would have played perfectly as well. But they take a edge rusher, and I know the reviews on him are outstanding. I mean, you look at what the analysts have to say, you know, had about a sack per game. You know, and really, it's like, great, so you use a first-round pick for a guy that might get you one sack per game and maybe give up on a playmaker that could break a 70-yard touchdown. What's bigger, a sack or a 70-yard touchdown over the top? You know, I'm not thrilled with the pick. I know some people are saying, well, look at the reviews and look at the, you know, the analysis. This guy's an outstanding player. I'm like, right now the Colts have invested in the offensive side of the football. They just paid Michael Pittman a bunch of money as the wideout. They paid last year, they paid Jonathan Taylor to be the running back for the next 3 years. They've got Quentin Nelson getting $20 million a year to block up front. They've drafted offensive tackles. I mean, when you look at the Colts, they have tried to build an offense and are trying to build an offense around a, quote, rookie quarterback who's now a second-year guy, but basically by number of games still essentially a rookie. And the only way you allow a guy like that to succeed is you give him a good coach and outstanding weapons to work with. And right now they've got the coach in place. They just have to have the weapons. The Colts, well, Chris Ballard claimed he tried to make a trade up and couldn't find a dance partner, couldn't get anybody to trade with. Everybody was staying where they were at. Well, usually there is a price. Obviously the price was too steep for Chris Ballard if there even was a real authentic discussion. You know, did he call somebody? Hey, you know, what are you thinking about that sixth pick? Oh, we're probably going to be taking it. Okay, thanks. You know, would a couple of first rounders and a second rounder or third rounder, would that entice you? You know, it probably did not get real deep.
No.
And so it is the Colts that end up. Now, Chris Ballard talked about the player that he got last night.
Yeah.
And, you know, and because we didn't know much about him. We didn't talk about him. He wasn't talked about a lot being connected with the Colts. But he's not a Chris Ballard type. He's totally different than the skill sets that Chris Ballard usually values with that speed, the burst, the athleticism. Little different player this time around. And Chris Ballard tried to explain what they saw in him and why, of course, they're excited to get him.
Excited about who we got Latu. Really a great kid. I know the medical is going to be a question, but like our doctor said, he just played 2 full years with it and had 22 and a half sacks. So we think we got the best defensive player in the draft. I mean, I thought we got a little lucky, you know, on it. We thought really 4 or 5 really elite players, and he was one of them. So we felt fortunate to get him.
Okay, I'm going to go through and I'm going to guess the 4 or 5 elite players. Okay, let's look at it. Because first of all, I don't think they would have graded the quarterbacks because they didn't need one.
No.
Okay, so we already know 3 wide receivers. Okay, with Harrison, Odunze, and Neighbors. Definitely all elite.
Yes.
No question the Colts would have graded them as elite. 4th one, Brock Bowers. Everybody tried to say that the Colts were enamored with Brock Bowers and were going to try to make an attempt to move up to get him. There's four. That means they got the 15th pick. They got the fifth guy on their board. And of the other 10 picks, six of them were quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's just, did you really get your guy?
Yeah, did you win day one of the draft? I don't think so. Regardless of how good this guy is, and I know we're going to have texters saying, you know, this guy's a stud, he's a superstar, he's the next coming of Max Crosby. That's, you know, that's great. That's all well and good. But the position the Colts are in right now, they are desperate for a vertical threat because they've got a big, strong-arm quarterback with nobody to throw it to deep downfield. Mm. And you could say, well, Josh Downs is a big game breaker. Yeah, but he's better at the slot.
Yeah.
Not the wideout. So 4-6-8-6-2, give us your thoughts. 4-6-8-6-2. Last night did get a chance to catch a minute or two of the Lightning Panthers game three. Oh, Panthers, they're just about there, Adam.
Yeah?
Up 3-0.
Oh, yeah.
They had a 4-3 lead after being down 3-2. They came back, took a 4-3 lead late in the game, got an empty net goal. They win it 5-3. They're up 3-0 for our Panthers Lightning update, which, of course, everybody tunes in for each and every day.
Awesome.
We'll go ahead and take a break. Once again, the big news, Luke Goody has committed to Indiana. That is according to Jeff Rabjohns, who's reporting that on social media. We'll take a break. We'll come back, talk a little bit about the Pacers-Milwaukee game. And tonight, Tin Caps, what do they have to do to get this series flipped around? It's coming up next on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
You're listening to the Sports Rush with Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4-6. Brett Rump, Adam Lundy. Coming up in just minutes, we're going to be talking to Kent Sterling and get his thoughts on last night's NFL draft. By the way, we've got those tickets. If you've received a text from us, please reply to go to the Tin Caps game on Sunday.
Yeah, check that phone.
Yeah, we want you to be able to check that phone. Pacers taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. Game three will be starting in minutes down at Gainbridge Fieldhouse.
Crazy.
Caitlin Clark revving up the crowd.
Vroom, vroom.
And I'm gonna give you a prediction. I'm gonna be bold today. I'm gonna call the score.
Oh man.
I'm gonna go 122-112 Pacers.
Okay. All right. Give me 117-106 Pacers.
Okay. So I've got by 10, you got by 11.
I'm kind of on the same page as you. I just think that Milwaukee might try to ramp up that defense a little bit.
Well, the Pacers are a little better offensively at home.
Yep.
And I think some of the guys from the bench that haven't produced as many points will get going. Somebody will get hot.
Yeah, I'm worried they might start doubling or try to take Siakam out of the game and then hope that the rest of the Pacers don't score and Tyrese has a bad scoring.
But there's
night.
So much balance with the Pacers. Five players in double figures. That's, I mean, true. Yeah, Siakam got his 37 the other night, but there's still four other guys that have the capabilities of putting up 20, 25 points.
Oh, yeah.
And Halliburton has not been the scorer that he was earlier.
You bet.
And so I think with the home crowd, the energy, I think the Pacers. Now, I do think Milwaukee is going, I mean, that's a good basketball team. They're going to fight and try to stay close, and I think it will be close. I think the Pacers win it by 10, not because they control this game throughout the second half. I think it's one of those games where could be a two-point contest, and the Pacers get an extra bucket, then hit a couple free throws.
Exactly.
Next thing you know, the finals, 122-112, which is also one of the reasons why I added a few extra points was because I thought if it's a close game and there's some fouls late, then you add a few extra points for some free throws at the end of the game. So 122-112. Give us a score, text line. Let us know what you think. Pacers, Bucks, 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line.
Hey,
46862.
Congrats to Doug Sherrard. You won the Tin Caps tickets.
Oh, there we go. Doug, you got a four-pack of tickets for Sunday's game, and they will be at Will Call at the box office coming up tonight. In fact, I might have a little extra time to go take those down to
what?
Will Call.
What are you talking about?
The rain isn't. You know, why has this been such an awful
I don't know.
Start to the Tin Cap season when it comes to weather?
April showers, man.
Well, I know, but they could have played three games today by now.
Yeah, and then now the rain comes.
And now they're just about ready to get their game in, and we're going to have some rain moving in, it does look like, according to the radar.
Bad timing.
But the good news is if you've got time to stay up late tonight, you might be able to see a ball game, because it does look like the rain's going to primarily be over the next hour, hour and a half.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the way that field drains, give it 45 minutes or so once the rain stops to have it ready to play ball. So we'll see. I mean, nothing official. We're not trying to tell you to go to the game late. It's scheduled for 7:05, and at 6:45, we give it to Mike Maz, come rain or shine. Because you know Mike, he wants that pregame show.
Hey, I had lunch with Mike today.
Did you really?
Sure did. Had a great time.
Oh, boy, that's a restaurant that probably went broke at the buffet.
Hey, we did go to a buffet.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's a restaurant that right now is reordering food for the weekend.
We did damage.
How's Maz?
He's good.
Good. Good.
Doing well.
That's good. I don't have any idea why you went to lunch. I would never take you to lunch. I haven't. We've been working together for how long?
Coming up on a couple years.
I'd make you a deal, Adam.
Yeah?
Someday I'm going to take you to lunch.
All right. Sounds like a plan. My first payment for the show.
Yeah. 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 I'll give you... If your score is closer than my score for tonight's game, I'm going to take you to... a restaurant in New Haven.
All right, let's go Pacers.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. All right, so tonight, and somebody brought this up on the text line, plenty of wide receivers and corners, and I think that's, I would say that's the two picks the Colts make tonight.
I agree.
They go wide receiver and corner. Might be corner and wide receiver, but I think they can wait till day three, because they're not looking for a starter in the offensive line. They're looking for depth in the offensive line. Chris Ballard has his eye on some guys mm-hmm. that he thinks will be middle of the draft kind of guys. But I do think that there's a couple of receivers. The Mitchell kid from Texas is one you're keeping an eye on, considered maybe the best on the board right now. I don't know if he'll fall to the Colts at 46. The Colts will have the 14th pick tonight in the second round. But it might be a case where they say, okay, these two receivers are definitely premium second round picks.
Mm-hmm.
And if they fall to us, we go that direction, or they might have a couple of corners they've got an eye on and say, if we come up and the corners are there and the receivers have been taken, the other alternative is if you really believe that maybe there's a drop off after a receiver or a drop off after a corner that you want, then you have to go up and get them.
Yeah, absolutely. Any interest in a tight end in round two or three tonight?
The tight end position, it's interesting because I think Brock Bowers is a unique talent.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Colts have a need at tight end. But it would have been an upgrade to get Brock Bowers. Mm. And he would have been, again, to use the word unicorn,
mm-hmm.
a guy that you can split wide at a tight end. I mean, the Colts really don't have – I mean, Kylan Granson's not a guy that just split wide. And so – I don't think the Colts are looking at tight end as a real strong position of need. They've got four of them on the roster.
Sure.
But I do think they'll go wide receiver corner at least tonight. They might add a tight end tomorrow if there's one, but I really expect it to be corner, linebacker, wide receiver, safety, and then just depth pieces in the last couple of rounds. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. We're going to go ahead and take a break, step aside. And on the other end of the break, it is Kent Sterling, one of our big buddies from down in Indianapolis at kentsterling.com. Always has some insights on what's happening with Indiana sports. So we're going to talk to him about the draft, the Hoosiers, plenty more coming up next. It is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rupp, Adam Lundy. Don't forget, we do have Tin Caps Baseball coming your way. In about another hour and a half, we're going to have Mike Maz, actually, with the call tonight. And live from Tin Caps Parkview Field. Join us for all your coverage on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Last night, NFL Draft Day 1. That means the drama that unfolds over a four-hour span for everybody to make one pick. And now you get a whole 24 hours to debate how good or bad that pick was. And so we'll play that game, and we've got a guy to help us play it right now. Joining us on our guest line from KentSterling.com. It is Kent Sterling. Happy NFL draft, Kent.
Oh, thank you, Brad. It's a wonderful day, always in Indianapolis, as we second-guess Chris Ballard. It's it's our favorite game. It's even the Colts games, regular season games, pale in comparison to the popularity of this game, the second-guessing of Chris Ballard.
Yeah, we've got to start there because last night, as a Colts fan, I think the draft couldn't have been worse. I know there were a lot of quarterbacks taken, so you're thinking, hey, guys are falling and there's better talent at 15 when all these quarterbacks are chased down ahead of the Colts. But every name that was that one hope that he might be the guy to slide, they didn't slide last night.
They really didn't. And the guy I was hoping was going to slide, or that I was hoping Chris Ballard would kind of take control of the Colts end of the draft and trade up for, was Malik Nabers. But evidently, moving up to six and getting him, or the draft rights to him from the Giants, was just a little bit too punitive. So they let it roll down to 15 and took the first defensive player off the board.
Do you think when Chris Ballard talked about trying to trade up that they had a player they wanted to go up and get, do you think it was Nabers? Do you think in Chris Ballard's mind it was Bowers? Because I've heard that that the Colts were somewhat enamored by Brock Bowers.
Yeah, I think he was just flat lying. I don't think that there was any talk of trading up. I just think he says that kind of thing to cover himself, because he also said that Latu was one of the four or five guys that they graded in this draft as an elite-level player. So I don't know how many of those guys might have fallen to where the Colts could get at him, but I don't think that there were any. And I think it's just kind of like, because he wasn't specific about it either, not that he would be, but this is kind of what he does, is he sort of plays both ends against the middle and tells us things that I think are just designed to get us to shut up and not tweet about him and about what he's done. So I just took it as I always take things with Chris Ballard surrounding the draft, at least post-draft. Pre-draft, he's pretty honest. Post-draft, not so much. He comes with stories and justifications and hyperbole, and it just kind of wears me out, and I kind of ascribe that comment into that pile.
Yeah, you know what? Yesterday I said, no matter what happens in the draft, you're going to hear every general manager do his post-draft presser and say, we're really happy with who we got. We got our guy. You know, things worked out. I'm like, come on, can't you be honest with us? The draft sucked, and you got stuck with a guy you really didn't want to have to take. When are we going to hear somebody give us an honest answer?
You know, I wish that that would happen. I think that that guy would occupy his office for maybe another 15 minutes.
Well, speaking of that, there's a Bills general manager who might be occupying his office for 15 minutes. What the hell were the Bills thinking, giving up a pick and then letting Kansas City basically add to the weaponry for Patrick Mahomes?
That was horrific. I don't understand that at all. And I really don't understand what the Falcons did either. And I like Michael Penix Jr. a lot, but taking him eighth when he just signed Kirk Cousins to like a $40+ million contract with $100 million guaranteed, none of that made sense to me. And it kind of provides national cover, at least for Chris Ballard. You know, nobody's going to come at Chris Ballard when you've got yo-yos pulling that kind of shenanigans.
Well, now let me just talk about that, because the thing about the Atlanta, do you not like the idea they're planning ahead for a succession plan? Because we've talked before that the Colts never had one for Andrew Luck. And so maybe teams are starting to notice what they did in Green Bay and how that worked, what they did with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. There is a precedent and a model that says take the quarterback of your franchise a couple of years before you're going to need them. The question is, did you not like the pick? Or did you not like where they took it and they should have traded down and done something instead of just drafting him at the spot they were slotted?
Well, I just think that the timing is completely odd. I mean, you know, if this was Matt Ryan 2 years ago, I totally co-sign and understand that. Even Matt Ryan 4 years ago, I would get that. But they just signed. Like, the ink is barely dry in Kirk Cousins' contract. He's there for the next 4 years, potentially at least, or you would assume that they hope he's going to be there for the next 4 years. And at that point, Michael Penix Jr., the by the time he gets on the field, they'll have had to utilize his fifth-year option already. You know, and he's 23, almost 24 years old. So you're talking about a guy, your next guy is going to be 28, potentially, before he starts. And you're not just drafting Michael Penix. You're not taking somebody else who could help you right now and for those 4 years. Like, Roma Dunze was still on the board. And Kirk Cousins, he needs somebody to throw to justify all that cash they're throwing at him. Dunze would have been nice. Now they got a guy who's going to sit and look at the Microsoft Surface and watch Kirk Cousins play football for years before he ever gets on the field, unless Cousins gets hurt. I would have, you know what, given the injury history for Anthony Richardson, and we've talked about this in the past a little bit, I would have given some serious thought at 15 if one of those good quarterbacks was still on the board. If Bo Nix was still on the board, I think you could justify taking him and have that make sense. I think the fan base would have lost their minds. But I think in the end, it might have been the prudent thing to do, but he was gone. That the Falcons have set themselves up and are not giving Cousins the weaponry he requires to be able to succeed, I think it's just kind of peculiar.
Maybe Atlanta got confused with all the portal, the transfer portal talk recently with college. You know, you get so confused. Maybe they thought that Adunze had already committed to Chicago and he wasn't available. They saw him on the plane with Williams. They saw him on the plane with Williams, said, oh, he's already committed. We'll go for someone else.
And next month he could enter the portal. He could go to Lake Forest and say, I want out of here.
Yeah, we'll get him next year when he gets back in the portal. But somebody already got to him this year. Kent Sterling joining us here on the Sports Rush. All right, let's really focus in on the pick that the Colts did make with Latu. Or Latu. I got to get used to even saying his name. I don't think I'd ever said it until today when I had to actually talk about him. But when we talk about this guy, first of all, we didn't hear much about him pre-draft. So there wasn't a buzz that he was connected to the Colts. He doesn't fit the profile that Chris Ballard usually looks for. Long arms, athletic, you know, just freaks at the combine. But, you know, the other thing is I question, is he the right guy? Great player. And I know he's got some great numbers, but is he the right guy based on the Colts' needs? When you add it all up, what do you think, Kent?
Well, I think positionally he's not. You know, I mean, they're pretty stacked. Not stacked with high-quality, elite-level players on the defensive line, but they're bringing back everybody that they had last year, including Ebakam and Pay and Odangbo and Tyquan Lewis. They're all back. So you're adding to a place where you kind of had all your boxes checked. He is a guy who's going to be better at getting after the quarterback. He plays with a high motor. He's a guy who can drop into coverage, so he's multidimensional at that edge position. He will walk into the building being the most dynamic edge guy that this team has. He's really good with his hands. He does things at a fundamentally high level already. He's been really well coached. And so what they're hoping is that he can come in and be productive immediately in a way that a lot of edge guys aren't. And so I get it from that perspective. But if you're going to have Anthony Richardson out there, I think that you've got to find somebody. You got to recruit somebody over the top of Alec Pierce. And they didn't do that last night. And I thought that was kind of the mandate of the draft. They're not going to be great defensively with Latu or without Latu. They're going to be mediocre at best. They were ranked 28th in the NFL the last 2 years. And so you're trying to go from being bad to mediocre, where offensively you could go from being pretty good at 11th in the NFL to elite if you could go get a guy like Malik Nabers. And so I thought that was, I'd rather be elite at one thing than mediocre at all things. And evidently Chris Ballard doesn't subscribe.
Yeah, we had that same discussion, I think, last time you were here, that when you are stuck in mediocrity and you continue to draft mediocre players, where do you end up? It's like a definition of insanity. But I still don't understand the medicals either. And they are a concern. I saw people on X last night explaining the injury similar to that of Peyton Manning. And I'm like, well, the same medical team gave Colts a lot of concern about the future of Peyton Manning, But they cleared this guy who hasn't stepped on the field in an NFL game before. What do you know? Do you know much about the medicals? And are you concerned?
Well, I know this. I know that what Latu said last night was that when he retired from football, it was based on the advice during COVID from a doctor who had not examined him. And so he felt like he got bad advice from a guy who didn't even bother to do a personal diagnosis. And so there's that. Then he went down to UCLA and he played well for 2 years. Not just well, but he was the most productive defensive end in college football those last 2 years. The Colts, they went round and round with medical people trying to figure out whether this was a risk worth taking or not. And Chris Ballard decided that it was. So, you know, they've done this before, and we've seen it many times. You know, they drafted Julian Blackman, although it wasn't a neck, it was a knee. Julian Blackman wasn't able to start the season. They had Dio Odengbo come in with a torn Achilles as a rookie, played a few games toward the end of the season. They've drafted guys in the past who were kind of wounded and projected toward healing, and they felt like they got a bargain. You know, he goes, Chris Ballard likes to shop at the scratch and dent area of the store, and he does that quite a bit. It's not just bargain basement, it's a scratch and dent area. That table gets a lot of use by Chris Ballard.
Okay, so the Colts move on now into night number two. Second and third rounds are on tap. Which one of the two rounds does Chris Ballard trade down? I know he's itching to do it, Ken. He's got to be. He's just got to be scratching, anxious to make a trade down. And with a guy who's already admitted there's a couple of positions of need that are very deep in this draft, it's got to happen, doesn't it?
I hope it's the third. I'd really like him to come up in the second. His track record post 42 is really not good in the second round. He's taking guys like Kamoko Ture and Ben Banigou, Tyquan Lewis, Paris Campbell, Quincy Wilson, Juju Brents, Alec Pierce. The list goes on and on and on. There are eight guys, and none of them have really shown out or lived up to that draft pedigree. So I hope he goes somewhere up into the high 30s. I don't know how he's going to go about doing that. He doesn't like giving up picks in order to do it. But if you can get A.D. Mitchell or you can get Ladd McConkey, I'm all about it. I think they've got to exit this draft with some kind of lift at the wide receiver position. And they need to go get somebody in the secondary, too. And we all know how much Chris Ballard loves taking safeties in the third. So maybe that's what they'll wind up doing, trade back in the third, trade up in the second, and let the silt settle and see if they can plug some holes.
We'll see what happens. Kent, also, when we look at Indiana basketball, which I know you regularly do, what's the latest in your thoughts on where Indiana is at with the commits that they've gotten from the portal, guys they've got coming in versus those they're looking at? I still don't know anything about Luke Goody. We're kind of waiting to find out how that visit went. I thought we would get the fancy graphic and post from Goody this weekend or today or tomorrow. But Indiana, how close to complete are they?
Well, they've got three scholarships to give, and people are suspecting that Goody's going to commit over the weekend, and hopefully he does. I mean, you know him better than I do, but I know he's a good three-point shooter, and I would only question his desire to play for a program that doesn't shoot the three. You know, that's kind of a strange deal, but his parents, IU people, his dad a receiver, Trent Green's his uncle. You know, let's go. Go Hoosiers. The other guys, Umar Ballo, and, you know, you've got Rice and you've got Carlisle. Those are three good players, but especially with Carlisle. Like, have you ever been to Stanford, Brett?
No, I've not been to Stanford.
It is one of the most beautiful places on the planet. It has a great athletic facility that's filled with national champions in all sports. You walk through their weight room and you're like, and the people come back, you're like, holy cow. It's like a who's who of Olympic Games. And why anybody would leave Palo Alto, I can't figure. But okay, he left and you got him. So you're going to hope for the best. And, you know, those are three good transfers, and you get the Tucker kid. whose dad thinks that he is the second coming of Michael Jordan, and I just hope that he's right.
It's funny, I got stuck thinking about Stanford, and I thought he's leaving a place where the mascot is a tree to go to a place where the mascot is something we still don't really know or identify. We still aren't sure. What is a Hoosier? Have you ever figured it out?
Whatever it is, it wears overalls. That's all we know about a Hoosier. I don't know whether it's a tree, a bird, a scarecrow.
Surrounded by corn.
Indiana farmer. I don't know what that guy is.
Ken, have a great weekend. Enjoy the draft. Go Pacers. And we'll talk to you again soon.
You too, Brett. Thanks.
That is Kent Sterling joining us here on the Sports Rush on our guest line. Kent's always a fun, entertaining guy to talk about. I mean, I think it's very difficult with this pick because if it wasn't where the Colts are at and what they did in the offseason already, in the fact that they said everybody's good, we're bringing them back, and the fact that their deepest position of guys they committed to is the edge rusher. Somebody just lost a job last night. It's not an open position where you can slide somebody in to a spot that's currently kind of available. And I know the Colts don't theoretically have an open starting spot, but wide receiver, I think everybody has felt that there is a vacancy there. Cornerback, even at safety, that there's a huge need. Edge rusher is one of those guys. Everybody in the league would love to have a guy that comes around the edge and puts pressure on the opposing quarterback. Everybody wants it. My biggest problem with the pick is Chris Ballard's history of identifying edge rushers is not a good track record. I mean, he has tried over and over, Vanagoo and Toure and Quiddy Pay. I mean, one after another, and he's come up empty. He hasn't found that guy. We do not have a Dwight Freeney that has returned to Indianapolis. And so it's hard to give him benefit of the doubt that this was the best defensive player in the entire draft if you choose to go defense, when I feel your eggs are being put into the basket of offense. You've got the quarterback. You've got an opportunity to try to build an elite offense. I said this the other day, that with Peyton Manning, they made sure to get the offensive pieces in place, try to slowly develop the defense to catch up with where the offense was at, and hope along the way the offense could outscore what the defense allowed. At this point, the Colts are working their way toward mediocre offense, mediocre defense, and let's see, at a 500 level, that means you end up being 9-8, which is pretty much what the Colts are each and every year. 46862 is Parfrey Sports Medicine text line. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, wrap it up for Friday, and end the week with the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Final time we take off for the weekend. Hope everybody's ready for a great sports weekend. Of course, I'll be down at the ballpark all weekend long. Hope you come out and see the Tin Caps taking on the Great Lakes Loons. We've got coverage tonight, 6:45 p.m. 7 o'clock will be the first pitch, and then two afternoon games over the weekend, both starting at 1:05. Big day today. It's going to be a big weekend with the NFL draft. We'll be back on Monday to dissect every single Colts draft pick, and we'll also be looking at games 3 and 4 of the Pacers-Bucks series. Got to give a big thanks to our guest, Dylan Sin from the Turtle Gazette, and Kent Sterling from kentsterling.com. Enjoy the weekend. We're back Monday. It's a Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.